Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Welcome to our church service. What a beautiful worship experience we've had, lifting up the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible says that God has given Jesus a name that's above every other name. And at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. But hear this, every need can be met as well in that powerful name of Jesus. Wow, I love that name. Don't you love it? Well, we've come to that point in the service where we get to hear God's word. And as we continue our series, Culture Transformation, our pastor in charge of leadership and discipleship, Pastor Calvin Ohule, is coming to preach God's word. Get your Bible, get your notebook, get ready to be inspired by this preaching of God's word today.
Thank you, Pastor Julius. And my name is Calvin Ohule. God has blessed me with a precious wife, Shirley Ohule. He's also blessed us with a beautiful daughter, Sela Ceresi Ohule, who will be 2 years old this October. I'm a pastor at Watoto Church, and I oversee leadership and discipleship programs. They are programs through which Watoto Church raises godly transformational leaders. We need godly transformational leaders. And I know you've been waiting to hear God's word. And so as we get started with God's word, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that changes us, that makes a difference in our lives and enables us to become the kind of people God wants us to be. Today, speak to us through your word in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. A few years ago, two leadership experts, James Kouzis and Barry Posner, conducted a survey in the U.S. on the qualities that people desire to see in leaders. After conducting over 400 case studies, they identified integrity as the most important quality that people desire to see in a leader. That tells us integrity is critical. It is crucial. It is needed in every sphere of life, in a family, in the business world, in government, in the media, in education. Everywhere, integrity is needed and is important. So today, as we continue our sermon series on culture transformation, which Pastor Julius introduced last week, I want to talk about a culture of integrity. Pastor Julius last week defined culture as a way of life, as beliefs, as customs, practices, language, and symbols that people adopt and cherish. So I believe integrity is one of the qualities, one of the godly qualities that we need to embrace as our culture and as our way of life. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him." So what then is integrity? Integrity is the quality of being honest, sincere, genuine, and adhering to or sticking to moral principles. Simply, integrity means our words and our actions are consistent. Our beliefs, our values, and our behavior are consistent. Our private lives and our public lives are consistent. But I also want to highlight that if you do something right because somebody is watching you, that is not integrity. So let's look at some examples of people in the Bible who demonstrated a culture of integrity in the way they did things, in the way they behaved. Now, there are many examples in the Bible of such people, people who had a culture of integrity, but we will look at only two today. One of them was a personal attendant or a personal assistant to an army officer. The other was a national leader, a public figure. Those men are Joseph and Samuel. Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, also known as Israel. And his father's special love for him got him into trouble with his brothers. They hated him. Now, his relationship with his brothers was further strained when Joseph shared his dreams that prophetically showed that one day he would rule over them. As a result, they plotted to kill him. But when their plan to kill him failed, because God was with Joseph and God had a purpose for his life, they sold him to the Midianite merchants, to the Midianite traders, who took him to Egypt, where he was bought by Potiphar, an Egyptian army officer. And in Potiphar's house, Joseph became a servant, but eventually he was promoted to be Potiphar's personal assistant or personal attendant. Samuel, on the other hand, was a miracle child. He was conceived and born as God's answer to his mother's prayer. His mother, Hannah, had been barren for years, but God heard her cry and blessed her with Samuel. As a child, he was dedicated to God's service. And while serving under Eli, the high priest then, God called Samuel, and he became a highly influential prophet and judge of Israel. So let's read the story of Joseph's integrity in Genesis chapter 39 from verse 6b to 18. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in church," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us, to make fools of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed." When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me, to make a fool of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." This story ends with Joseph in prison. He was arrested and jailed on the orders of his master, Potiphar. Listen to me. Being a person of integrity will cost you something. And so we must be prepared to pay the price for living upright lives. Let's also look at what is said about Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 12 from verse 1 to 4. Then Samuel addressed all Israel. This was Samuel's farewell speech after Saul became the king of Israel. I have done as you asked and given you a king. Your king is now your leader. I stand here before you, an old gray-haired man, and my sons serve you. I have served as your leader from the time I was a boy to this very day. Now testify against me in the presence of the Lord and before his anointed one, the king. Whose ox or donkey have I stolen? Have I ever cheated any of you? Have I ever oppressed you? Have I ever taken a bribe and perverted justice? Tell me, and I will make right whatever I have done wrong. No, the people replied, you have never cheated or oppressed us, and you have never taken even a single bribe from us. So what do we learn from these two men, Joseph and Samuel, about a culture of integrity? First, people who have a culture of integrity say no to what is evil before God. Despite constant pressure from Potiphar's wife, Joseph refused to sleep with her because it was a wicked thing and sin against God. Notice, Joseph considered sleeping with Potiphar's wife sin against God because she belonged to his master, not to Joseph. Joseph knew sleeping with Potiphar's wife would displease God. People who have a culture of integrity have the courage to say no to temptation and to pressure to do what is evil in God's sight because they want to please God. When you're a person of integrity, your concern and your priority will always be to please God, not yourself or people. So, when you're tempted or pressured to cheat on your spouse or sleep with a person you're not married to or wish not married to you, cheat in an exam, cheat your customers, illegally take what belongs to someone else, steal or misuse public funds, my brother, my sister, act with integrity by saying no to that temptation or pressure. Choose to honor and please God rather than yourself or people. So I want to commend men and women in this country, Uganda, who have said no to corruption by refusing to take or give bribes because they're committed to honoring God and to serving the people of this nation. I also want to commend men and women in this country, Uganda, who have taken a courageous stand to fight all forms of corrupt practices at the risk of losing their jobs, their careers, important relationships, or even their lives, because they have chosen to please God and they want to see a better and prosperous Uganda. I also want to point out that Joseph was aware he would break his master's trust if he slept with his wife. That's why he said to her, my master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. Friends, Joseph chose not to dishonor his master because Potiphar had trusted him with so much that he put everything under his care. No one had more power and influence in Potiphar's home than Joseph. That's why he told the lady, no one here has more authority than I do. Listen, people trust and respect you when you act with integrity. But when you compromise your moral standards, you lose their trust and respect. That should not happen to you. So don't break the trust of your spouse, your parents, your children, your friend, by behaving in a manner that breaks their heart and causes them so much emotional pain. As an employee, don't break your employer's trust by not doing your work as expected or by misusing resources or property entrusted to you. As a public servant or a leader in this nation or any nation, don't break the trust of the people you serve by abusing the power and authority of your office you hold for personal benefit. This story I'm going to share encourages me because it's about a man, a public servant in Uganda, who has demonstrated integrity in his work and his interaction with people. In November last year, Ben Otim, the current chief administrative officer of Lira District in northern Uganda, won the National Integrity and Service Delivery Award. That award is given to leaders who demonstrate high levels of integrity and excellence in service delivery in the public sector, private sector, and the non-governmental organization sector. After a rigorous process of vetting by government agencies and international organizations, and collecting views from the public on the nominee's conduct of extended period, Ben qualified for that prestigious award because of his integrity, besides his exceptional performance. When I contacted Ben to seek permission to share his story, he told me, as a God-fearing man, he has made a commitment to serve people with integrity wherever God deploys him. This is a good example to emulate and also to celebrate about a culture of integrity. So, people who have a culture of integrity say no to what is evil before God. But secondly, people with a culture of integrity have a clear conscience. In his farewell address to the Israelites, Samuel said, "Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed one, the king." Listen to me, friends. A clear conscience is the knowledge and confidence you have that you've done what is right before God, regardless of what people may say or what they think. So even when you are falsely accused of wrongdoing, if you're a person of integrity, you will have peace in your mind and heart. You'll go to sleep and you'll not be shaken by what people say or fear what will happen to you, because you have a clear conscience. Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of attempting to assault her sexually. But I'm sure Joseph went to prison with a clear conscience because he did not do it. And God knew he did not do it. Maybe you have been falsely accused of wrongdoing, of misconduct. You've been falsely accused of something you've not done. Your name has been tarnished. I want to encourage you today. God is your defender. If you're a person of integrity, God will defend you, and the truth will come out, and the truth will prevail. So people who have a culture of integrity say no to what is evil before God, and they have a clear conscience. But thirdly and lastly, people of integrity are accountable. After leading Israelites for many years, Samuel asked them to evaluate his life and leadership. He told them, "Tell me if I've wronged anyone, and I will make right whatever I've done wrong." This shows Samuel was accountable to the people he led. This is rare in our society today, but we need men and women who are marked by accountability. Listen, my friends, accountability keeps us morally healthy and safe. The lack of accountability is a recipe for our downfall. One of the individuals who highly values accountability to others, I know him personally, is Pastor Gary Skinner, the founder of Watoto Church. He doesn't just talk about integrity. He lives it out because he's accountable to Watoto Church and other people. He has also taught us, young leaders, he has raised the importance of being accountable because he wants us to be men and women of integrity for God's glory and for the good of the people we serve. So will you be a man and woman of integrity who is marked by accountability? So, we've learned from Samuel, from Joseph and Samuel, that people who have a culture of integrity say no to what is evil. They refuse to do what is evil before God. But they also have a clear conscience. Even when they're accused falsely, they know they have not done anything wrong. And people who have a culture of integrity are accountable. Now I want you to know that a culture of integrity springs from God, because integrity is the mark of God's character. God never changes. God never lies. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God keeps his word and his promises. Who? Our God is a God of integrity. And when we embrace a culture of integrity in everything we say and do, we reflect the character of God and bring him glory. Also, when our lives are marked by integrity, God will bless us and will use us as channels of his blessings to other people. Proverbs 27, I read a while ago at the beginning of this message, says this. I want to read it again. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Of course, women are included in that. The righteous woman walks in her integrity, and her children are blessed after her. Now, my friend, it is impossible for us to live lives of integrity without God. You cannot be a man, you cannot be a woman of integrity in your own effort, by your own effort, in your own strength. You need God to help you become a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, to help you live an upright life, to help you live an honest life, to help you live a sincere life. And so right now, wherever you are, will you receive Jesus in your life? Will you give your life to Jesus? Will you surrender your life to Jesus? And he will help you live as a man, as a woman of integrity. And so as you're making that decision to give your life to Jesus, let me pray for you. Jesus, we thank you because you came to give your life, to lay down your life for us so we can become the kind of people that God wants us to be. Jesus, we thank you for coming to save us from our sins. And it's because of the corruption of our hearts that we live wicked lives. People live wicked lives. Today, there are people who have made a decision to give their lives to you right now. Lord, I know that you have a purpose and plan for their lives, and that purpose and plan will come to pass. And so, Lord Jesus, I also know that you will help them live lives of integrity. Thank you for coming into their lives. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. Thank you for giving your life to Jesus today, and welcome to God's family. We celebrate the decision you have made, and we would love to hear from you. So write to us, connect@watotochurch.com. Now, I would like to turn over the service to Pastor Julius.
Thank you so much, Pastor Calvin, for taking God's word and preaching it from your heart on a very important subject of integrity. Thank you, thank you. If you've given your life to Jesus, welcome to the family of God. It really matters what you've done, so let us know how we may help you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.